Good morning, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car. Once again, this time being very careful, driving to Detroit to not accidentally turn into the tunnel that goes to Canada. This is your GoldenBlack.com drive home postgame podcast following Purdue's 80-68 Sweet 16 NCAA tournament win over Gonzaga. It is 2:30 in the morning. I'm driving on 75 South through the city. There are very strange amount of cars driving around Detroit at this faint hour, oddly. This is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, T&W Design and Build, AcrePro.com, and the Whitaker Inn, which is hundreds of miles from here and will not be driven by tonight. So Purdue 80-68 over Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. Purdue is 40 minutes away from its first Final Four since 1980. The level that Purdue seems to expect of itself this season, I've written before, and we do have written content on our website, remember. If you would go visit goldenblack.com, subscribe to our site, things like that, cheap plug, but we've written about this often. Here this month that Purdue is thoroughly unimpressed with itself. It is almost weird and eerie being in Purdue's locker room after these wins because the highs and lows, the emotional peaks and valleys of the NCAA tournament are normally very, very evident in locker rooms after games. If nothing else, the winning team tends to exude relief. This Purdue team exudes next to nothing, except this is just how it's supposed to go in their minds. They're supremely confident. They're quietly confident. They are just stoic. They're poised. They're just there. They say the same things over and over again, and their actions, their body language completely back up what they're saying. You know, there's this ceremonial ritual that happens after NCAA tournament games. I wrote about this on our site earlier, where the team, some member of the team, gets to advance the little cardboard placard from one bracket to another. It's normally a viral moment. It's normally a photo op. It's normally kind of a real celebration type of moment. After this game today, it was almost like a form of hazing on Miles Colvin. They basically made him do it. I'm not even sure he knew what he was doing. They just told him to do it because nobody was really volunteering to do it. Zach Edey was gone at the press conference. Braden Smith and Lance Jones were as well. Matt Painter wasn't around. Nobody stepped up to do it, so they basically made Miles Colvin do it. He just kind of happened by. They made Miles Colvin do it. It was strange. But this all is just what Purdue is this year. They're just supremely confident. They seem to be pretty unshakable. If they are shakable, they've not been shaken yet. And that's really come out in the NCAA tournament. Just a really, really unique vibe Purdue's putting out here and backing up with their play because they have laid waste here to three opponents in as many outings. I know this was only a 12-point win, but Purdue just absolutely took over in the second half of this game. The Purdue battle of attrition factored in once again. They kind of wear people down. They grind on you. They take a physical toll on you. They take a mental toll on you. They make you run around more than they probably ever have with all their ball screen offense, with all their transition capabilities, things like that. They just absolutely wear people down to a nub. And I think that's been evident in second halves all season long. This guy's got to be intoxicated. I'm driving by. Anyway, I know that's the kind of content you desire after Purdue basketball games. Purdue just wears you down. And they've been a second half team all season long. They've been a pretty good first half team a lot of the time. But they've been a really good second half team. When Purdue was up four at halftime, you just kind of figured they had them right where they wanted them because all the normal dynamics would take hold. Purdue did this without getting to the foul line very much, which was a really, really enjoyable experience as an observer to watch because the game wasn't stopping every 5 seconds. Gonzaga didn't shoot many free throws either, but Purdue only attempted 10 free throws. And it was all the one guy. Guess who that was? Just a really free-flowing sort of game. Not the sort of game you see in the Big Ten very much. But once again, a reminder that Purdue can beat you a lot of ways. They can beat you in monster truck show basketball. They can beat you in free-flowing open floor basketball, you know, things like that. Just they got a lot going for them. I've been saying it all year long. Trey Kaufman ran, you know, played really well for, or as well as you can in a 6-point outing. Fletcher Loyer played really well as you can in a 10-point outing. Guys who don't get many shots but really loom large in sequences during games. Trey Kaufman Wren got them off to a really good start to the second half again, being featured coming out of the locker room, which is something Purdue's tried to do often and had a lot of success with at times. What the exact bigger picture there is, I'm not quite sure, but Kaufman Wren has had good matchups, obviously can take advantage of Zach Edey's gravity. He is a really tough one-on-one player on the block to handle, especially for opposing four men who aren't necessarily conditioned to guard the post the way centers typically are. Purdue's really found something there in a couple of games this season, tonight certainly being one of them. That really kind of led the way to Purdue opening this game up a little bit to start the second half and really taking off and running away and hiding. The score never got into like the 20s or anything like that, but Purdue led by mid-double digits at times and was never really threatened in the final 10 minutes of this game. But obviously, you know, your studs have to carry you this time of year too, and Zach Edey is still Zach Edey. I don't know what his numbers are. The box score's in my pocket, and I'm not going to try to take it out while I'm driving on the interstate. But somewhere in the vicinity of 27 and 14, kind of the usual. You kind of get used to it. You kind of just glance over it. It is what it is. He dominated the last couple minutes of the first half, a really important stretch of the game. Gonzaga did a really good job keeping him off the offensive glass, I thought, to the point where they gave up layups to produce guards, simply in order to make sure that Zach Edey wasn't there to dunk the offensive rebound should the layup miss. So think about that for a second. Think about that from an influence perspective that Zach Edey has. You would rather have Braden Smith and Lance Jones shooting uncontested layups than have that player miss that layup, but Zach Edey dunked the rebound. That's just how much Zach Edey exists between the ears of opponents and how much Purdue, you know, just sort of wins kind of psychological warfare against opponents. I said it many times this season, I'll say it again. The only way Purdue has lost games this season has been turnovers. No one's best has ever been more than Purdue's best, has ever been better than Purdue's best. And this was another really good example of it. I didn't think Gonzaga played poorly. I just thought Purdue's better. Purdue was better. Purdue's shooting the hell out of the ball still. They got elite guard play in this game. They got elite center play, obviously. They really rebounded in the second half. They didn't turn the ball over, and they just kind of impose their will, for lack of a better term. And now, you know, comes Tennessee again. Tennessee is good. Tennessee's really good. And Tennessee's really tough. Tennessee's really physical. Dalton Connect is a huge problem. I don't know what Purdue's going to do against him, if he's making shots, because he's just really, really good. He wasn't ready in Honolulu to be the sort of player he is right now. He wasn't really guarding anyone. And I don't think he had the opportunity to get out there and play through it the way he will now. You know, Tennessee's offense oftentimes just becomes set a high ball screen for Connect, let this 6'7 monster come off that ball screen and shoot or drive or use his body or do whatever. Purdue's going to have to be really good defensively in this game, or they're just going to have to outscore Tennessee, which is perfectly reasonable to expect because Purdue's an elite offensive team too, even if Tennessee's really good defensively. But I just think it'll be another really good game, a close game. Don't expect Purdue to just roll here, even though Purdue's rolled through these first three games. Purdue's got to take care of the basketball. Purdue's got to make free throws, you know, stuff like that. But Purdue's 40 minutes away from the Final Four, and they are looking the part of a team that is, you know, on a collision course with that Final Four. And they are good enough to be there. They have proven that all season long. They have absolutely proven that in this NCAA tournament thus far. And it just it's hard to see anybody stopping them right now. But Tennessee is certainly capable. So it'll be an entertaining game Sunday afternoon, 2:20 p.m. on CBS. So I will talk to you guys again then after that game. And, you know, you might have that first Final Four appearance since 1980 or that first Final Four berth since 1980 to celebrate. And until then, this is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com. Thank you once again to the East End Gorilla and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, T&W Design and Build, AcrePro.com, and the Whitaker Inn. And I will talk to you guys again on Sunday. Thanks a lot. Bye.